Are you ready? Are you ready? It's Monday morning. We got our boy.
We ready.
We're Mark Dominic.
Oh, we're ready, all right. Mark Dominic joins us every Monday morning here on First Up, the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's with us right now. What's up, Mark? How you doing?
Sad, this sounds like former GMs all over the place, right? So happy to be part of your show and looking forward to talking about football for just a minute.
Nice. No doubt. No doubt, Mark. And let's start with the Patriots. I mean, six straight wins, a point differential of plus 148 for New England in those six games. And you know the Monday Nighter next week. Pats and Bills will be at the forefront of our attention in the coming days, Mark. But when you look at the Patriots right now, do you view them as the top contender to come out of the AFC considering what we've seen?
I still can't get my mind there. And I guess maybe we'll see once they get to Buffalo next week how that game goes. They've got a bye still. They haven't even had their bye, right? So they'll play the Buffalo Bills, take a bye, and then finish up their season. Their last two games are Jacksonville and Miami. Now, Miami's playing better, but they're good enough right now to sit there and say, expectations are high. They crushed the Titans, who have been on a two-game streak now in the wrong direction. But they've taken advantage. And what they've really done, I think, all the way since basically October started, is that offense is very efficient. I mean, over the last four games, I think they've averaged over 35, 36 points on average. And so it's been extremely impressive what they've been able to do. And they've beat the Carolina team and kind of hurt them. They beat the Browns. They've beat the Titans. And they've beat good teams like the Chargers. It's not like they're just beating teams that are struggling. And when they did lose, if you can go back a little bit, they lost by 1 point week one. They lost by 2 points to the Buccaneers. You know, they lost, like, I think, 6 or 7 points to the Cowboys. I mean, the games that they lost have been close. So, you know, it's a testament to Mac Jones, but it's also a testament to that entire football team that they're playing well on both sides. That I can't put them as the number one. If they beat the Buffalo Bills, then I can look at them and say, I think they're still the second best team. But I think in a shootout, when you go against like a Kansas City Chiefs team that's kind of found its legs again, I have a hard time thinking that the Patriots can win a shootout like that.
Yeah, no, I think we're all dialed into what Monday night will bring when the Bills host the Patriots. And the Bills losing a significant player on defense, Tre'Davious White, out for the season with a torn ACL. That'll see how that impacts their number one defense in the NFL. And ultimately, I still feel pretty good about the Bills' chances, but you can't discredit everything that the Patriots have done up until now. And, Mark, you've been a big fan on this show for the last 2 years of the Rams, and clearly they are a team that everyone is just confused about what the way they're playing and what we're seeing with them. Since they traded for Von Miller at the trade deadline, they tweeted out, "We're all in." Well, they've been all in the wrong way. It's losers of three straight. There's no team in the Super Bowl era that has won three straight, that has won a Super Bowl. What has gone wrong with the Rams? And you just look at, you know, everything that they want to pride themselves on off or defensively. You know, a game against the Aaron Rodgers-led Packers, they just couldn't get to the quarterback. You couldn't understand why. So what's wrong with this team?
Yeah, you know, I think the main thing that's wrong with this team right now is they're just running into buzzsaws at the wrong time. I think that, you know, the Packers obviously have been playing very well. And I thought that the Packers had a really smart game plan going into this. You know, if you watch the game, we all tried to, is, you know, dropping the ball to A.J. Dillon, getting the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand as fast as possible to Reggie Cobb, Randall Cobb, who's also, you know, a guy that's underneath, that's working the, you know, those kind of routes. I know he had the long touchdown, but overall, I thought they did a great job. And then they ran the ball 30 times. I mean, they tried to do everything they could to limit the pass rush of the Rams. And the first thing is run the ball. Second thing is be efficient with it. And gosh, they were. I mean, they blew them out. At one point, it was, what, 36 to, like, 10 or 12 or whatever the score was. And so this team just, to me, is on full cylinders. The Packers, and I think for the Rams, I think the main thing you don't see is I don't see the turnovers I would expect it to see. I thought they'd create a lot more turnovers on this defense, and they haven't been able to do that as consistently, especially as of late. And I think that's really obviously hurt them bad.
Mark Dominic is our guest, our NFL analyst here on First Up every Monday morning. Let's look at the Sunday nighter, the Ravens, in spite of four picks from Lamar Jackson, able to beat the Cleveland Browns 16-10. Another disappointing performance from Baker Mayfield, uninspiring performance from Baker Mayfield. He's a guy who's due for a contract at the end of the season, Mark. You're a GM in the NFL. How do you think the Cleveland Browns will approach the Mayfield situation as the season comes to its conclusion?
Well, they're already asking Coach Stefanski whether or not he's going to go with him, which is a very shocking statement even to ask that as a reporter. And so that to me speaks volumes of where Baker Mayfield is in his career and in his performances as of late. You know, he has been very uninspiring, and this is why, you know, as I've probably said to you guys before, but, you know, I've had the situation before as well, is you just don't rush quarterback extensions unless you're that 100% sure. There's really no big benefit for you to get the deal done early because you've got so much control over the player. And I mean that is like, this is Baker's fourth year. They still have his fifth year option. So, you know, you just keep him for another year under the option. It's going to be expensive and make him prove it and say, look, we like what you've done. But the reality is, you know, you have not been consistent. There's nothing that I can sit there and say you're worth, you know, $40 million. $35 million, probably not. If it's around 30, you're starting to think about it. But I want to see more consistency out of him. And I know that 2020, he certainly had a much better year from a touchdown to interception ratio than he's having this year. But it just has not felt good. He's fumbled the ball more this year. You know, he just hasn't looked like he – and I can agree that he's probably battled some injuries that he's talked about, the shoulder and things like that. But he has not been able to lift this team to where we thought this team would be. And therefore, as a GM – I push pause on all negotiations, and I'm thinking more fifth-year option, and if I have to, I'll franchise you another year just to make sure. But yeah. It's a tough situation, and it's disappointing to see Baker take a step back.
Well, first things first, they've got to get him healthy. I mean, just to watch him in that game yesterday try to manage a shoulder, a knee, a foot, it's like, why are you doing this guy? Put somebody in there that can move against the pass rush that they clearly couldn't handle in Baltimore yesterday. And maybe that'll be the case. I mean, Keenum, he's not the same talent level, but at least he can go in there and give you some, you know, productivity because he's healthy. And maybe that would have made a difference in last night's game. Maybe it wouldn't have. Who knows? Baltimore found a way to win that. But to move on to the other AFC North matchup between the Bengals and the Steelers, obviously the Bengals have basically solidified themselves as legit contenders for the playoffs with that statement win that they made as Steelers. But Mark, if we started a petition for Ben Roethlisberger to retire, would you sign it? Because clearly this guy, oh my That's God, nice. It's tough to watch.
He's bringing it, Aaron. You know what?
A petition.
I don't deserve, as I was watching the game yesterday, especially early in the game where it just felt like everything was falling apart for him, my mind was like, knowing Coach Tomlin, am I calling Deshaun Watson thinking about what's 2021 like and being trying to get in part of that conversation to keep this franchise at the all-time level it's been in terms of being above or at 500 or above? I do think this is probably Ben's last year, just body-wise, size-wise and everything. And I don't think they have the replacement in their organization. But I sadly agree. And I think, you know, this was a game yesterday to kind of show how far can the Steelers go. And it's, you know, we still have many weeks to go. They still can make the postseason and all those kind of fun things we can talk about. But the reality is when you get throttled in your own division, it puts you in a bad spot. And they're at 5-5-1 right now and currently ranked around 11th, I think, for the playoff seed. So they've got an uphill climb for them, a big time. And I think what your statement is true, that I think that they've got to start thinking. They'll play out the season. Don't get me wrong. I'm not writing the Steelers off, but losing, you know, tying the Lions and losing two straight. They've got Baltimore next week, then the Vikings, then the Titans, then the Chiefs, then the Browns, and the Ravens. I mean, it's a uphill battle for the Pittsburgh Steelers to stay above 500 this year. And so I think the main focus will be, you know, that quarterback position. And that's why I was thinking yesterday, I was literally thinking if I was Kevin Colbert, the general manager there, I think I'd reach out to Sean's camp and just be like, don't be in a hurry because we might be in this thing too.
How about maybe Russell Wilson? I mean, yes. I think there's a lot of options for sure, no doubt. Mark, your former team, the Tampa Bay Bucks, a big win on the road against the Colts yesterday, and Leonard Fournette put the four in perspective with four touchdowns. He actually matched a guy you know very well, the muscle hamster, Doug Martin, for most touchdowns in a single game.
Muscle hamster. What a
remember
name.
Doug Martin was awesome. Was awesome. Fantasy superstar for years with the Tampa Bay Bucks, as you recall, Mark. What do you make of the Bucks right now? Because I feel like they're kind of flying under the radar, but they're 8-3. I mean, Gronk looks awesome once again coming back from that injury. He had what do you have, 7 for 123 yesterday? Mm-hmm. We know Antonio Brown remains out, but when that team gets fully healthy, I mean, I can't think of many teams, if any, that are as potentially devastating as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mark.
They are, and they're certainly set to play in the South. They've got still four games in the NFC South in terms of Atlanta. They've got the Panthers twice. They've got the Saints. They got a game against the Jets, and then they do have the Buffalo Bills. And so Tampa's setting up to put themselves in position not only to maybe win the NFC, but certainly has the schedule, I think the softest schedule on the way out for the remainder of the season to do that. And they've been efficient. Like yesterday, you know, they got behind it, or they were tied up, and then they put the, you know, straps on Jonathan Taylor, said, let's go. And it didn't take but a couple minutes to get back down the field and go win the game. And so it's just they're scrapping together defensively. I don't think they're playing as well lately defensively, but I do think as a group they can lean on each other. And this is still without Antonio Brown in the lineup. And they also had an offensive lineman out yesterday as well. So they were still short players that they hopefully get back. And I think that's the main thing for Tampa. When you look at their roster, we talk about, like you talked about, Tre'Davious White for the Buffalo Bills. They can't fix that. That's gone. For Tampa, they've had lots of injuries, but none that have been like, wow, they just lost their left guard or they just lost their left tackle for the season. Everyone on that team, as I can, in my mind that I can think of, is either coming back or is getting is a couple weeks away. No one's been really lost for the season, and that is the secret recipe to go a long ways in the postseason, and we'll see if Tampa Bay can keep it up. But yesterday's rally, when they're tied the way they did, was very impressive on the road, because the Colts early, and really for a lot of that game, felt in control, and then Tampa really got hot the second half.
I just feel like Indy missed a massive opportunity right now to close in on the division leaders with the Tennessee Titans, who are still two games back of the Tennessee Titans. Just seemed like Tennessee, they just keep getting ravaged with injuries, and they're just trying to hang on while everybody gets healthy. And Indy doesn't do themselves any favors either, so we'll see how that race plays out. But Mark, the week started with the Thanksgiving Day slate. It was the three-game feast with the Lions and Bears that started the day. Then it was the Raiders upsetting the Cowboys and the Bills going into New Orleans. And you know, I can't believe we're talking about the Bears and the Lions, but I just look at the Lions and what of a massive missed opportunity that was to get their first win of the season. And I just look at the remaining schedule. Do you have any optimism that they might win a game this season? Because they've got Minnesota, Denver, Arizona, Atlanta, Seattle, and Green Bay to finish the season. So how do you project the season to finish out for the Lions?
Yeah, it doesn't look good. I mean, I think the two spots, depending on where the clubs are, at Atlanta is obviously a hot and cold football team. And then I don't know where the Seahawks will be and what's going on with Russell Wilson towards the end of the season. Or is Green Bay fully entrenched in week, you know, 17 and there's nothing they can do, and therefore, you know, they're not playing Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love's out there, and somehow Detroit has a chance to take that win. It's, you know, I've said it from the beginning, this was a bad football team, and they've lived up to that expectation, but they've also had lots of bad luck and bad situation. I mean, the last, you know, 3 weeks they've tied, lost by a combined 5 points. I mean, that's hard to do over 3 weeks. And so this is a team that, to me, the air is just pulling out of the sail. And it makes for a very, very long December for this organization, because you have to pick yourself up. And especially when you lose on Thanksgiving Day, but then you haven't won a game all season. You know, it becomes a selfish mentality sometimes in that locker room. And that's what Coach Campbell's got to watch and make sure that it's not happening, is guys preserving themselves, just trying to get to the end of the season instead of trying to fight through the end of the season.
Mark, thank you as always for taking the time to join us, and I would appreciate your prayers and well wishes for Taylor Heinicke, who I need to have a huge performance to win my fantasy league. So Taylor Heinicke needs
What do we
your
need,
support.
Three or four touchdowns?
Probably, maybe, perhaps even more. I might need a monster. It's a legendary performance from Taylor Heinicke. I mean, the Seahawks defense, they have been wont to give up big performances this year, so maybe that's something that we could all hope for and be nice. Thank you as always, my
Good
man.
Luck,
I appreciate
gentlemen.
It.
Great to talk to all you guys right. this week.
Take care, Mark.
That
have
is
a great week.
Mark Dominic, our former GM of the Tampa Bay Bucks, and now our analyst here on First Up. We should mention what happened in the Canadian Football League yesterday. The Hamilton Ticats beating the Montreal Alouettes 23-12. I don't know if you saw what happened into that game, Coco. There was a safety that Hamilton took that gave Montreal 2 points. I had Montreal on a 12-point teaser, 12.5-point teaser. Yikes. So without that, I would not have covered my spread on the teaser and the under. So shout out to Tunde Adeleke for taking that safety. Huge for me. And Hamilton will play the Toronto Argonauts on Sunday afternoon at BMO Field. That will be an amazing game. The atmosphere down there will be incredible because you know the Ticats fans travel very well. Mark Rowe will be down there. He'll be have his face painted, and he'll be going insane. We should see. Maybe D-Row wants to go down to the game. I'm sure the Argos could set us up some tickets.
I tell you what, it's funny because I came home last night, and my wife's like, hey, did the Ticats play today? Because we were watching the highlights. I was like, yeah, they won. They play the Argos next week here in Toronto. And she's like, we should go to the game. I'm like,
yes,
that's actually a good idea. Absolutely. But then I saw what day they played, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably not going to happen.
I will say, yeah, Sunday, I believe it's a 12:30 start or a 1 o'clock start on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, I'll be there. And, you know, I encourage – why don't you tell Gina she can come with me?
Absolutely. She's okay, more than capable of doing that if she wants.
If
actually,
she wants. Of course she wants.
Probably not, because then that means I have to stay home with the kids. And not saying that I don't like spending time with my kids. It's just I have a Sunday routine with my buddies. And
it's fair. It's disappointing, but fair. The kids can come to the game too. A whole family affair. You
maybe.
Don't come. I take your place as the father figure in the Koliakova house for one day. Apparently,
sure
Al's brother.
That.
Apparently, Al's brother will be there as well on Sunday at BMO.
I heard.
Essentially irrelevant, but 20 Fingers felt it pertinent to mention that to me. So, thanks to Chris for that tidbit of information. Al's brother and Julia Teixeira on Leafs lunch at noon, breaking down another victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the West game, which was incredible theater. I mean, the number of turnovers in the first half, I think Cody Fajardo threw 3 picks in the first half. Bo Levi Mitchell threw 2. It was not exactly quintessential offensive football. The defenses were dominant, and the game went to overtime. Brett Lowther, the kicker for the Riders, booting it through in the little mini game overtime, which I love. I think it's really entertaining. So Saskatchewan advancing to the West Final. They'll take on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who are clearly the best team in the CFL.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan has their work cut out for them to advance the Grey Cup, and that's December 12th at Tim Hortons Field. So you hope the Argos can get past Hamilton and take on either Winnipeg or Saskatchewan. And I mean, the last time the Argos were in the Grey Cup, they were big underdogs to the Calgary Stampeders in 2017 in a very snowy game. So maybe, just maybe, a repeat of that could happen in 2021. We have Steve Phillips, our MLB insider, joining us on the other side. We spoke to Steve a little bit earlier, but he was fantastic, breaking down Kevin Gausman, the newest member of the Toronto Blue Jays, what that means for Robbie Ray. Marcus Semien taking his talents to Texas, joining the Rangers, and who the Jays could be targeting to replace the 45 home runs from the vacated Marcus Semien spot at second base. That's coming up next on First Up.